0, negative 1, negative 2,
are you carrying
negative
on
3.
The Matt Brown count?
We're just going to keep counting.
We're just going to go negative into integers. Keep going deeper and deeper into integers until this podcast.
Deeper and deeper
starts.
Down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a Friday edition of the Marek Wyrzyczynski podcast.
So no game show today, right? I saw your post.
No,
nobody answered.
No,
nobody wanted to participate.
Is,
so everybody's turned on.
No,
it's not just me. There's more coming into Camp Marek.
It's a funny thing. As soon as I put that tweet out. The person who emailed
that's
and said they wanted
cheating.
To be on
that's
got
BS.
On.
Nah, you know what? You should put it out. You should put out the signal once, and if Batman doesn't respond, that's it. You go to Aquaman.
Well, how about the idea that how about the idea that maybe the person who's going to be on the podcast today for game show is a proud Canadian? Does that help?
No. You're not going to play
who's
the loyalty.
Pride,
you're going to play the patriot card with me.
Well, as a good pride, Canadian, sir. Then fine. Yes, right this way, sir, ma'am.
Oh,
who is it?
Speaking of that, you got to stay tuned to find out who it is.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see, by the way, the massive amounts of response to our show the other day where we talked about territoriality and who roots for what,
yeah.
Depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And why you keep rooting. Nick Webster writes in, my work sent me to a different department for a couple of days, so I missed the window for these conversations when they were relevant, but I'd figure I'd say a thing anyhow.
I like that. Sorry, but you know what? Why don't we do this? Why don't we get people to respond to QODs from years ago on the podcast?
We should, actually. I'm a Sharks fan, but I'm completely willing to root for the Ducks simply because I like it when California wins the cup. It's good for the sport. It's good for the state. But let's face it, how angry does it make Canada when a non-traditional market wins? You've got to cheer for someone. Sports aren't fun if you're just watching without a rooting interest. So, as a long-suffering A's and Sharks fan, I have developed a pecking order for when my teams are inevitably eliminated.
Okay, hang on
ready?
A second.
Here we go.
First of all, I think, as a wide brush statement, I think Americans want to think that Canadians are outraged when non-traditional markets win the Stanley Cup. But the only thing that I really see is it greeted with a shrug. I don't see anyone really I've never met an outraged Canadian that Carolina won the Cup in 2006 or Anaheim won in 2007.
I kind of agree to a point. I mean, I still think there is non-traditional market bias. Oh, by the way, give a read to Rick Westhead's investigative piece on the Glendale City Council trying to get the arena deal in Arizona overturned. I think
shocking
there still is animosity.
Shocking.
I know.
No one saw that coming. Wow.
And it's amazing we're still on the story. It's amazing.
No, it's not.
I mean,
I
know this.
No.
I know it's not over, and I know it'll never be over because all due respect to Ice Arizona or where the hell they're called, they put an out clause in their contract.
That's
so
why it'll never be over.
Right. If you do that, you're begging for these stories to be written. But yet another one where it's just like, okay, here are the problems, here are the losses, here's the city, what they're trying to do. Yada yada. Yeah. Anyways, so I think there still is bias against non-traditional markets to a point, but I tend to believe in my conversations with you and other proud Canadians, generally they want to see these markets thrive because then it means that they're holding up their end of the bargain. A lot of the animosity towards non-traditional markets is animosity towards the markets themselves not picking up the slack of the overall finances in the league, leaving it to the Canadian teams to fill the coffers. Would you say that's accurate?
I don't think they think that deeply. I honestly think it's more surface level. We would make NHL would make money if a team was in Quebec. Why is there a team in Florida? Why is there a team in Arizona? Yeah.
That's interesting. I've heard from a lot of people that, you know, it's not so much that the team there's a team in, let's just pick one out of a hat, Carolina, for example. It's that they don't make it's that the Habs and the Leafs are so responsible
revenue sharing
overall. Yeah, it's revenue sharing. Huh. It's that those two teams are so responsible for the overall health of the sport and health of the National Hockey League that there is animosity towards the weaker teams that get their share of revenue sharing.
I think
it's almost like, how dare you beat us out for the playoffs? We're basically funding your roster, that kind of thing.
Hey, listen, by the way, that comes up during lockouts. Like from owner to owner, how long am I going to subsidize your losses? At what point are you going to put your pants on? And what time are you going to sign your own checks? Trust me, that comes up. I've heard it countless times. But I don't know that it's that deep. Honestly, I think that Canadians wring their hands about hockey nonstop, whether it's rules or whether it's the health of the NHL. They can't stop obsessing about it. And an easy story is this team's losing money. This market would make money. Let's put two and two together and talk about this. Honestly, I think it's that simple. I think it's a byproduct of Canada's incessant Marge Simpson-esque worrying about the game. It's a national pastime. It really is in Canada. How are we going to fix the game? It needs to be fixed on the ice. It needs to be fixed economically. It needs to be fixed in the markets.
I don't know, Bart. The boards seem pretty rough out there.
You know what I would like? I say this knowing all full well it'll never happen. I would like every Canadian to rise right now and say this along with me. Next season, I'm not going to complain about a single thing in the NHL. I'm just going to try to enjoy hockey.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easy for you to say that, except you forget that there's a basketball guy running the league.
Oh, Jesus, I know that.
Well, and he's, yeah. Oh, yeah, and you know what? He sounds like a New Yorker, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, wink, wink, nudge, yeah. Nudge. Sounds like a New Yorker.
I know. It's ridiculous. It's stupid.
Speaking of which, by the way, oh, my God, I should tell this story real
quick.
Hang
on, get back to that.
We're
way off. You got to get back to that.
I'm going to tell the story. Okay. Real. I am. I'm going to read Nick's pecking order. Read Nick's.
Say it out
his pecking
fast.
Order. He's going to grab
Nick's
his pecking order.
Order, Nick's pecking order.
I was at a party last night, at an office party that was not mine, which is the best kind of office party.
Oh, yeah.
And,
did you photocopy your ass? Did you do that a whole bit?
Close. They had beer pong, which was amazing.
Oh,
so
that's
I was playing,
great.
I was playing with this dude who works for AOL. And, he was born in Brooklyn, and I was telling him I was born in Jersey, and, by the way, the party wasn't at AOL. I just want to point that out, if it needed to be said. And he was like, well, I would have never said Jersey. I'm like, why? He's like, because the way you said your sentence there, like I noticed you had something in your voice. I'm like, did I sound Canadian? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, I'm a hockey writer because I didn't know that he's a Rangers fan. We got into that later on. And he's like, wow, well, yeah, you sounded kind of like you were from Canada.
You should have said Stanley like, Cup well, five times really fast.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm
oh,
like,
you gotta, yeah, you're from New Jersey, okay.
Like, I don't think I've got it as bad as most, but the fact of the matter is that every American, if they are in hockey, around hockey, talking to Canadians all day, will pick up something from you guys.
That's true.
And I just found, I rarely get that, but I got it last night from this guy who didn't know me from Adam, which I thought was interesting.
You know what's,
Nick's
you know,
pecking
you know,
order.
You know,
oh,
what's, you know what's, it's just an aside, just as far as tonality goes in hockey, you know what's always been comforting to me when I hear people from Michigan talking about hockey? Because I grew
Why
up,
is that?
Well, our pretty much half my family, more than half my family is American. And the cousins we used to always visit every summer, and in the winter as well, it'd take me to the Joe to watch hockey games, were all in Livonia. And so I've grown up with my cousins, specifically my cousin Steve, who's still an official in the Detroit area, talking to me about hockey and in that accent. And it always reminds me of my youth when I hear people from Michigan talking about hockey. It's just that warm sort of soap and warm water feeling you get when you hear a familiar accent or a familiar tone talking about, you know, this topic that you know, has dominated your entire life. So to me, I've always loved hearing Michiganders talking about hockey. Doesn't matter what they say, if I agree with them or not, it's just a comforting sound.
So Ryan Kessler is like a warm blanket for you, then, a Livonian native.
Snuggle. And Tori Krug. Oh, there's another proud Livonian. Oh, yeah. Mike Medano, this is another Livonian.
snuggle up to
little Tori Krug.
Oh, side note, by the way, I was talking with somebody at the Yahoo office the other day who you know came to me because I'm the person to come to with hockey questions, okay. And they're like, "Who was that dude on the Dallas Stars that was in the Mighty Ducks?"
Awesome.
I'm like, Mike Medano. They're like, "Yep, that's the guy. Thanks." I'm just like, "Oh, that's his legacy."
Say his like name. Hang on. Say his name again.
Mike Medano. I know it's Medano, but I go Medano.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if that was a New Jersey thing, too.
Nah, it wasn't. It's just a mispronunciation thing. I don't know. A first on this show. Nick Webster's... I'm sorry. Nick Wester's... Not Webster. Nick Wester's pecking order. Here
All
we
right.
go. This is a long-suffering A's and Sharks fan who has developed a pecking order for when his teams are eliminated. This is where it goes. Number one, you root for the team your friends root for. Number two,
really?
Root for the local. Yeah, you root for the local team if you don't already do so. Number three, you root for the team that will piss off Canada the most, exclusive to hockey. Number four, you root for the black quarterback since there aren't many, and it's traditionally I'm not racist, but it's not just their it's not their position, which is not really applicable to hockey. Number five, you root for the team with the best uniform. So there you go.
Really?
Now,
hey, let me go back to the you root for the team that will piss off Canada. Yeah. Is there a team that would piss off Canada, other than you know internationally?
The Coyotes.
Nah, I think you know, listen, Winnipeg got their team back. I think they're fine.
I don't think so. See, as evidenced by the TSN report today, I mean, like it is still a blood grudge against Glendale because
I think Hamilton,
because
I
the
think,
Avalanche I, belong.
I think Hamiltonians. I think Hamiltonians, but might.
No, I disagree with you because I think it goes well beyond that because I think it speaks to not only hatred of the Jets leaving there, which still lingers, hatred of the almost moving to Hamilton. It's also symbolic of the Bettman hate because that's his baby. That's his pet project.
That is.
So I think that's a very important even battleground though, there too.
Even though the Southern expansion model for the NHL was laid out and framed by John Ziegler, it will always be Gary Bettman's can to kick. This
right.
was well before Bettman. This whole project started well before Gary Bettman came.
Right.
But nope, it's got to be Gary.
Right. Exactly.
But listen, part of that too, I don't necessarily think it's just about the market. Like think about this as well when it comes to Phoenix and the Coyotes. I think that the NHL, and rightfully so, are very wary of leaving markets where the town pays for the rink.
Right.
I don't think they want that. Hey, thanks for the rink. Suckers, see you later. We're pulling out of town.
Right.
I
they don't want that on their
record. Really beholden to that. Like, if you're willing to make a rink for us, we will do everything we can to stay.
Yeah. I agree. Interesting stuff. Well, that's an interesting list. It's an interesting approach to it. I don't think I would ever go to best-looking jersey as my, like, ultimate tiebreaker.
Hang on,
but that's okay.
Hang on, hang on a second. You're telling me that if there wasn't, I don't know, like a Sasquatch, or if there wasn't an Easter eggs, or if there wasn't a zombies in the NHL, regardless of where they're from, Greg Wyshynski of the New Jersey Wyshynskis, you wouldn't cheer for them based solely on their jersey.
I might.
Come on, there's a team called the Zombies, and they come out to the Thriller. Psh, care where they're from. I'll cheer
yeah,
for
I might.
Them. You
I might.
Would. You freaking would.
Well, I like the Blackhawks jerseys. They're the best one in sports. So there's that.
Yep, they're real good.
They are. Before we get to predictions and stuff, and Julie Robenheimer is going to come on the show to talk about the IIHF World Championships, which we've not done a lot on, but the U.S. and Russia are playing on Saturday in the semis, and I believe Canada's still alive. Are they still alive in the tournament?
Yeah, they beat Belarus. They're into the semis. I haven't really followed it.
That's a real.
I've been busy with junior hockey.
So real tough matchup there, the Belarusians.
No, they beat Belarus. So
good.
Through. Who's Canada playing in the semis? The world champ. Maddie's not it, Sammy. Czech Republic, the Republic of Czech.
Oh, so Jager. That's fun.
There's a couple other players.
So she's going to join us to talk about Worlds. But I mean, we're going to also do predictions for this stuff, and Game Show Friday is coming up later as well. Mark Bergevin held a press conference today that produced two bits of news that I think we should talk about. Spoilers!
Okay,
Michelle Therrien's safe. Does that surprise you at all?
A little bit, although I'd have a hard time believing that if Mike Babcock was proactive and called Mark Bergevin that you wouldn't at least give him concert.
Yeah. I don't know. It sounds like, I mean, you come out and say...
I don't know, but honestly...
Something as declarative as it's not the coaching staff's fault and we give them our full faith and support, yada. That's a lot. That's a pretty heavy endorsement he gave that coaching staff today.
Okay, so if it's not the coaching staff, then it's what? It's composition. So then the follow-up question would be, well, why are you still here?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm just throwing it out there. Like, okay, it's not the coach. What is it in this scenario? Or were expectations too high? And are the Montreal Canadiens exactly what you thought they would be?
I think that's a legit question. And I think that he knows that they have holes in that lineup, clearly.
Having said all this, Greg.
Yes.
This wouldn't be the first time the coach got the vote of confidence.
Right. I mean, let's be honest here.
Grain of salt, this one.
The thing that but you mentioned it before. The really interesting thing here is, so Alex Galchenyuk is without question one of the best young players in the league, I think. Mm-hmm. He's got the potential to be a really, really, really good one.
Mm-hmm.
And it is clear that this guy can't necessarily handle the middle right now as a 21-year-old player in this league. I happen to be of the mind that you do trial by fire and you put him out there until
slot him in there?
Yeah, until you make him a better center.
Yeah.
But it sounds like... Maybe. Not only do they not believe he is the solution for their problems in the middle right now, which is what Bergevin said today, but he literally said, I don't know if Galchenyuk's ever going to be a center in this league.
Hang on. Can I put a caveat on that one? Let's not forget, anytime someone like Mark Bergevin or any general manager comments
on... He's put the challenge
to
him?
No, he's talking about a player who's in a contract year.
Oh, you think so?
Well, he's owed a new contract come July 1st. You think you want to give the agent any kind of cannon fodder?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you want to come out and say, yeah, this guy's a superstar. This guy's going to be fantastic. He's going to lead the Montreal Canadiens one day. Or do you want to say, well, wasn't that great a year? He's still a project. We still need to think about how they talked about P.K. Subban before arbitration.
No, I think it's a fair point. So you think it's a combination of that and also putting a carrot in front of him?
I think it's both, but I think the main one is they know that they have to pay the guy and they don't want to pay him too much money.
Man, that's tough.
It is. That's why, I mean, a lot of these press conferences, I mean, the motivations behind a lot of what you say is questionable.
Because if I'm Galchenyuk, I'm just drowning my sorrows in a bottle of rum today. I mean, that's just... You said your GM come out and say, I don't think that you'll... There's a chance you may never be able to play the position for which we drafted you because you're not good enough.
He will.
Just,
he'll be a centerman. He was a centerman in Sarnia with Neil Yakupov. He will be a centerman in Montreal.
I hope so.
He will, despite what Mark Bergevin says. I honestly do think a lot of that is posturing for the contract.
The National Hockey League Conference Finals begin on Saturday. The East on Saturday. The West after. Several years of waiting for the Blackhawks and Ducks will get going on Sunday.
A week.
Well, you know, listen, it's not our fault that Anaheim's so far west. I mean, you know,
it's going to be tight too because that's a 3 o'clock in the afternoon game. There is a Kanye West festival. There's a number of bands playing on that Saturday night, and I think they're going to ignore the curfew. They're prepared to pay the penalty, so that's going to go until midnight. And then the teardown has to begin. Like, when you're a venue like, this is what I was told about it. If you're a venue like Madison Square Garden, teardowns are, they're the best in the business. Like, teardowns can, like, 3 to 4 hours, boom, no problem.
Because they usually have, like, college basketball in the afternoon and hockey at night.
Yeah, so, I mean, you look at, as far as turnover goes, MSG is probably the best around the NHL. I mean, that is, like, down, boom, 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 and everybody's out, and here comes a new event. It's a little bit trickier for the Honda Center in Anaheim, who don't have the volume of events. So this one's gonna be interesting because I'm not sure when TV trucks are scheduled to pull up. But if it starts getting to noon on the Sunday and you're looking at a 3 o'clock puck drop, this one's tough. And it's all because I think this festival is gonna go into extra shuckers. And it's not going to obey the whatever curfew it is. I think it's going to go to like midnight or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. This game one between Anaheim and Chicago.
Dan Boyle practiced today. That's really good news for the Rangers, depending on how you feel about Dan Boyle. But also very good for Dan Boyle because he got rocked by Warpick in that game.
Can I read you a text?
Please.
Okay, I'm not going to say who the player is, but I was texting yesterday. I made a, and I don't really know or really care. Who wins hockey games, but I was sitting around, I was texting a friend of mine who plays in the NHL, and he said, who do you like? Who are your picks for the conference finals? And I said, Rangers, Hawks. You? He says, Bolts, Ducks. I'm just reading the text verbatim. I texted back yesterday at 11 o'clock. It's on. And this was his response to me. Rangers can't hide Boyle and Yandel 5-on-5 all series against Tampa. And Crawford's bad angles and glove will bite him against the Ducks. But yes, sir, it's on.
Oh, interesting.
And NHLer who has played against both teams.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I know what my picks are. I had to make them on video yesterday. I forgot that I had to make picks, and they asked me what they were. And so without doing a scintilla of research, I threw these out there. But the more I think about them, the more I think that's where I would go anyway. My picks for the East and the West in the conference finals are the Tampa Bay Lightning in seven. Yes, seven.
Hang on a second. You know my theory on seven.
Bucking all of the trends. All of them. Tampa Bay Lightning in seven.
When I hear someone say seven,
yeah,
what I really hear is I don't know the answer. That's why I'm going to say seven.
And that's
seven's jump ball game.
And that's why I say the Chicago Blackhawks in six.
Okay.
Bolts and Blackhawks in the final. But let's transition over to something else. Something international.
Hmm.
Julie Robenheimer is working and writing and doing the thing for the IIHF, and the World Championships continue to roll on. As we mentioned, the U.S. against Russia, with the Russians saying some ridiculous things heading into this tournament, into this the semifinal. And then, of course, also Canada against the Czechs coming up as well. And Julie joins us here on the Marek Vrsushinsky podcast from – are you in Prague, Julie?
I am in Prague.
Is this your first is this your first time there?
It is my first time here. Well, technically, it's my first time making a trip here. I've come back for day trips. I've been out in Ostrava, and I've really only been here three times for 2 hours each.
Right.
And this is the first day that I've actually been here for an entire day. So I'm actually pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it looks – I've never been to Czech Republic. I've always wanted to walk the cobblestone streets. I can imagine how awesome it is.
Well, as a female who wears high heels, I hate them.
Good point. Fair.
How are the crowds there, and what is the atmosphere like? Is it Olympic style spirits, or a little bit muted, or what's the feeling like?
No, I would definitely agree. I think it's definitely an Olympic style spirit. You know, especially where I was out in Ostrava, there was a lot of turnover for each game. You know, if the Finns were playing, it was packed with Finns. If the Slovakians were playing, it was packed with Slovaks. You know, the Russians were there, you know, and it just kind of seemed like it was a home crowd for every game, you know, essentially. In Prague, it's been a little bit different, obviously heavily dominated by the Czechs. But it's been great, and it's fun. You know, everybody's wearing their team colors and you know, enjoying each other. And the fun part for me is when you see the fans who are interacting with each other, and it's fun. It's not like, oh, you know, Sweden's horrible. It's always like, oh, you guys played so well today and blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, much nicer than what you might be used to.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be that level of venom or hatred. Although in the World Championships, if you go back to, you know, the late 60s after the tanks rolled into to then Czechoslovakia, some of those World Championship games between Czechoslovakia and the Soviet Union were vicious to the point where, you know, we thought the army would have to come in and actually stop some of the games. Have you talked to any of the locals who may have sort of, you know, followed the history of hockey between the then Czechoslovakia and the then Soviet Union and how different it is now? Because back then it was knock down, drag them out. Every hit is for keeps. If there's no autopsy, there's no foul, you just play on.
Well, I don't know that that's been promoted, but I will say that before every game, they do show a little clip on the history of the World Championships, especially pertaining to the Czech Republic. So they are doing a really good job in that respect and in showing the history of the tournament, the history of the team, and going that route. And I also wouldn't say that there's not enough venom. I think you have to figure out the particular teams. I mean, like we were talking the other day that it's hard to like get your hate on for Denmark. You know, what's Denmark ever done to you? But, you know, you say that, you look at this USA-Russia game, and, I mean, you've got some of the players even already talking smack in the media, providing some good bulletin board material. So there's definitely a level of hate, I would say, and I think you'll definitely see it on the ice tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that Russia-U.S. Game because some of the stuff coming out of the Russian media has been hilarious. I mean, they're treating this thing – they're hearkening back to the Miracle on Ice. They're talking about, you know, all the importance placed on this game. I mean, Is that sort of the vibe you're getting from players at all, too, or is that just the media creation?
Maybe from the Russians. You know, I will say there's this little weird story. The day before USA played Russia in the preliminary game, my mom sent me a message, and she goes, oh, Julie, guess what? Miracle's on TV. And it always seems to be, like, at random times that they have these games. You know, this movie on, and I was like, wow, they must know that this really good Russian team is going to play a whole bunch of college kids tomorrow, because that's exactly what it is, you know, so it's true. I mean, they have five guys who played in college this year, so yeah. it's not something that is different in that regard, but, you know, I don't know that the players are necessarily buying into it, but I do think that the Russians are trying to find some sort of solace and some motivation, because they're trying to battle back from the 4-2 loss that they had dealt to them by the Americans in the preliminary round.
Speaking of those college kids playing right now, we all saw Jack Eichel's goal with under 30 seconds remaining against Slovakia. Nice shot. We've seen that curl so many times from Eichel. Hudáček, I believe, was the goaltender for Slovakia in that one. How's the rest of Eichel's tournament been?
Well, the thing with Jack is he's been better and better each and every game. And I think a lot of that has to do with just, you know, actually believing that he can do this and that he can play at this level and with these, you know, professional players. Because it's one thing to come in as an 18-year-old and say, yeah, I know I can play with these guys. And it's another to actually believe it. And so I think in the first game, you saw him kind of just kind of feeling things out, seeing mm-hmm. where things are going. And then as he and Brock Nelson started to click, and then you throw in Trevor Lewis, who just really blocks, you know, the goalie's eyes in front of the net and has a big presence there, that line's really clicked. And with that, so has Jack's confidence. So, you know, each game, you just kind of felt it was coming. And then when he had that, you know, his official first goal that hit his stick off Brock Nelson's shot, you know, he was like, okay, maybe this is it. Maybe this will open up the floodgates. And then in the next game, he gets the game winner in overtime, which was in typical Jack Eichel fashion. And, you know, you just see his confidence growing more and more. And the one thing that's fun in watching him play is you see him having fun. You know, and in the beginning of the tournament, he was a little bit hesitant, maybe wasn't making as quick decisions like he's, you know, used to. But now you're seeing him just, you know, play his game and play the way that he knows how. And he's finding a lot of success. Even if it doesn't show up on the scoreboard, it's one of the things that's great about Jack's game is it doesn't have to necessarily reflect on the scoreboard for him to have a good game and to make an impact.
Just don't try to put a Buffalo Sabres T-shirt on that young man, as Olga Himalev found out, which was a fantastic piece of video. I encourage all of you to check out. Good for Olga on that one. Go ahead, Wish.
Julie, you mentioned Eichel. Who are some of the other players in this tournament that have really impressed you so far?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Who are some of the other players in this tournament besides Eichel that have really impressed you so far?
Well, I'll tell you the one on USA or just in the tournament in general?
In general, or USA, whichever you want to go with.
Well, Panarin on Russia has been outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. The Blackhawks, you know, just signed him. They're very, very excited about him. And after seeing him in this tournament, it's for very good reason. That kid is electrifying on the ice. So just the thought of throwing him into the lineup in Chicago is outrageous. So if you're a Chicago Blackhawks fan, you definitely want to get excited about number 9 on Russia.
Yeah, because the Blackhawks need a stronger left side once Patrick Sharp goes. So you're right. Artemi Panarin is probably someone who's going to be fast-tracked to the Hawks. That's a great call, Julie.
Cool. That's all I had for that one.
All right. Well, then, you know, when you look at this tournament too, and in a lot of ways, this is for some NHLers the consolation prize for, you know, not advancing or not even making it to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Julie, are you a little surprised given that what Alexander Ovechkin set out to do this year in the NHL that he's going to be there tomorrow against the United States for Russia?
I'm not surprised. I am surprised, though, that this is his 12th world championship. That just doesn't even seem possible. But it's situations like this that count, you know, where he comes in, plays one game, counts as his world championship. But for him, he just wants to win. He loves playing for his country, and if he has the opportunity to win and to celebrate that, he wants that opportunity. Mm. So even in talking to him today, after he skated, you could tell that he, you know, I don't want to say that he didn't want to be here, but he wanted to be somewhere else. You know, he wanted to be preparing for the Eastern Conference Finals, not, you know, playing the United States. That said, I think he'll have the opportunity tonight to spend some more time with his teammates and kind of get over it, you know, build that bridge and refocus to you know, get after it tomorrow and try to win something. Because that's all he wants to do. He just wants to win. And for a lot of, you know, players, I mean, especially talking to the Edmonton Oilers, they're like, look, we love playing in May, and we hope that there's an opportunity in the not-too-distant future in which we are going to be able to be playing for the Stanley Cup in May and not over here playing for our country. So they're kind of looking at it from a conditioning standpoint, you know, just knowing that they can play well into May is something that they're hopeful that they'll have the opportunity to use in the not-too-distant future.
I'd be remiss if we didn't ask about Jaromír Jágr, because every time he's in an international tournament, he becomes the story. It seems like we are seeing yet another Jágr revolution during this tournament. What's that journey been like for him?
I would definitely agree. I mean, I don't know how he does it, and I'm not even sure he knows how he does it, but he always seems to turn it up another notch in these international competitions. And you knew when... you know, he announced his international retirement that there was a really good chance that wasn't going to be true, especially with this, you know, world championship being in Prague. Like, you know, I don't think anybody believed that. So no surprise that he came out of international retirement to participate, and he's had an impact. You know, that's the crazy part, you know, for, you know, having a 25-year career. He's not only still playing, but he's still having an impact. And that's something that, you know, in talking to a couple of the Czech players today, you know, this came up, and they're like, I don't know that I could ever do it. You know, I mean, not, you know, they're like, I don't know that I'll have an impact in 2 years, let alone in 20 years. So it's one of those things where, you know, you just have to admire and respect his commitment and his dedication to, you know, nutrition and taking care of his body and working out and doing all the right things so that he is prepared to be, you know, the Jaromír Jágr that we know and love at each and every game.
He's an inspiring guy. And you look at, you know, every team that he's gone to, look at the Philadelphia Flyers and how much good he did for a player like Claude Giroux specifically. And that's why, you know, the Florida Panthers were really excited to bring this guy back, because whether it's, you know, Nick Bjugstad or Alexander Barkov or any of those young kids on the Cats, this guy's just gold for everyone around him. And, you know, to the point where, and I'm sure you've talked to players at the tournament who are either playing with Jágr for the first time or maybe against Jágr for the first time. Julie, I would imagine that a lot of these guys, the younger kids who grew up watching Jágr, can't help but being a little bit starstruck as well.
That did come up, actually, and it's just one of those things where, you know, they're like, you know, I had pictures of him on my wall, you know, and I feel, I do feel... That is going to be something interesting for Jack Eichel tomorrow, because he adores Alex Ovechkin. Adores
him. Oh, really?
So it's going to be one of those things where, all right, now I'm going to have a face-off. So it'll be interesting if you're watching the game, you know, and this situation happens where they get the face-off against each other or play against each other or whatever. If you just know, this is a big, big moment for Jack Eichel, because, you know, as far as he's concerned, Alexander Ovechkin is a big deal, we'll say.
Greg, it's going to be the snatch the pebble out of my hand, grasshopper. Only then may you leave
the
temple, 100%.
Hey, Julie, I know you were obviously keeping tabs on the National Hockey League during the season before you headed over to Prague. You have any take on the Final Four here in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, what I like about it is I feel that these are all teams that deserve to be here. And what I also like about them is that I think when you look at it, these conference finals are going to be knock down, drag them out. This is going to be something, you know, really exciting to behold. I actually stayed up and watched game 7, of the Caps and the Rangers because I wanted this, you know, it was game 7. How do you not? Mm. So, you know, when you see all of that happen you know, obviously you take it to a next level, you know, just for the chance. It's kind of like, you know, these semifinal games. It's a chance to play for the Stanley Cup. You do whatever it takes. And that's what we're going to see. And that's what I think is so exciting. And that's why we love watching these playoff games. And, when you look at it, you always think, well, who's the more physical team? Who's the more skilled team? You know, and you kind of try and say, okay, well, if you're this and you're that and you're this and you're that. And I'm like, you know what? Screw all of that. Let's just play these games and see what happens. I mean, that's why they play them. That's why we watch them. You know, if we could figure it all out on paper, you know, who cares? And, you know, that's a simile. And I'm not interested in a simile. You know, I want to see these games and I want to see these players really go after it. And you know, everybody's healthy pretty much.
Yep.
And, it's going to be a really great conference final, yeah, in my eyes. I'm very excited to get back home and start watching them in real time and not at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Even good for you, you're a trooper. Even Ryan Callahan, who's not that far removed a couple of days from appendectomy, he's going to be playing in game one. So you're right, everyone, whether they're healthy or not, they're going to be playing. Let's just hope that Chicago and Anaheim was as good as Chicago Los Angeles was last year.
Oh, God.
Still one of the best semifinals we've seen. Okay, Julie, last one for me. We'll let you get on with your day or night. I'm not sure what time it is over there. Finish this sentence, Julie.
Yeah,
it's 8:30. Oh, so you got the whole night in front of you. Beautiful.
There you go.
Yeah.
Finish this sentence. The best thing about Prague is blank.
The architecture.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh,
can
there
I
you
say
go.
That?
That would make
Why
sense.
Why not? Yeah.
You just did.
Okay.
No. I've heard that about.
I'm actually staying here an extra 2 days simply so that I can tour the city because. You know, I've been in Ostrava, which is about a 3 to 4.5 hour train ride east of the city. So I've not really gotten to enjoy any of it. And so I'm definitely excited about all of the architecture and, you know, the scenic views, the river. And I'm even going to the zoo because I hear it's pretty good. So,
nice.
But yeah, so the city is great. The fans are phenomenal. I tweeted out earlier in the tournament that if European fans came over to the NHL and watched the game, they'd want to know what sedative everybody was on. Because they'd burn so many calories, jumping up and down, screaming, dancing, chanting. I hope one of them's wearing a Fitbit and, like, shares that information with me because I want to know how much they are burning in their calories, which I'm sure allows them to drink as much beer as they want.
Yep.
But, yep. Oh, my gosh, it is definitely an athletic workout to be a fan at one of these games.
Cheer yourself lean. I see the fitness craze in North America.
I had one more for you, Julie, but before we do that, give out your Twitter handle for all the people so they can follow you.
Julie Robenheimer. It's just my name. Very easy, as long as you know how to spell it.
Yeah.
It's
good.
Finally, for me, I'm a Jersey boy. You're a Jersey girl, which means that this is an inevitable question. Pork roll or Taylor ham?
I'm going to go with a pork roll.
Describe what were those sounds you just made with your mouth, Greg? What is that?
I'll say. I'll disagree. Well, you don't know about the pork roll Taylor ham debate, Merrick?
No.
There's a meat product in New Jersey. It looks kind of like Canadian bacon, and you fry it up for breakfast.
Good Lord.
And half the state calls it pork roll, and half the state calls it Taylor ham, and it is like the Civil War of New Jersey.
So why would it be called Taylor ham?
Because John Taylor of Trenton, New Jersey, founded the product, and it is marketed as Taylor's ham, and it's also marketed as Taylor's pork roll.
It's kind of like spam, if you think about it.
It is a little bit. It is a little bit. That was the debate.
Yeah.
So I want she's a New Jersey native. I wanted to find out where she stands on this hot button issue.
Now, when you have this,
but I also think the difference is with a pork roll, you fry it, right? Don't you bread it and fry it?
Well, you can bread it and fry it, or you could just make
it scrapple.
Yeah, it could be. Well, scrapple's definitely more of a Philly thing. That's for sure.
Now, let me ask you two New Jerseyites, if that's the way you say it. When you make
Jerseyans.
This, New Jerseyans. When you make this, do you, like, take out your phone and dial 911 and just get ready to hit send before you start eating it? Or do you have, like, your own paddles in the house? Do you need to be supervised?
No, that's
to
a
make...
cheesesteak.
Well, yeah, and for real, it's like, why would either of us allow anyone who represents the country that gave the world poutine to start lecturing us about, like, defibrillator meals? It's a
that
joke.
That was Quebec.
You know,
that was Quebec specifically, sir. only the French would look at cheese and gravy and say that's not enough.
I will say this. I think it evens out with all the fruits and vegetables that the Garden State provides.
That's true. Home that's to blueberries, true. Jersey tomatoes, Jersey corn, all of it. Delicious. Julie, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Enjoy the tournament. Thanks, Julie.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
There she is.
Julie Robenheimer.
Ah, oh, man, I would love to go to Prague. Oh, God.
Yeah?
Oh, wouldn't you? It just that's honestly looks list? Gorgeous. Yeah, every time I talk to Bobby Holley, and that's why I wanted to bring up the thing about the old Soviet Union versus...
You know, you go to Prague and you look at the architecture of the Prague and you look at the walking around and look at all the buildings.
It's
interesting that Yami Yager decided not to retire an international player. Yami Yager decided to come back and play for the Czech Republic because I did not think he would come back and play. I thought he was going to go the way of Peter Nedved or any of the other Czech players that decided not to play. But I am happy that he played because he is, of course, a hero to many of the Czech people.
I've always wanted to do the Bedini thing, too, and do that hockey nomad. I mean, Dave turned it into a wonderful documentary, a couple of documentaries, really, traveling the world and just playing hockey. Like, honestly, dude, man, if I were single and had the wherewithal to do it, had the opportunity, just like pack a hockey bag and just go all around the world and play hockey in as many countries as you can. I'd do that in a flash.
According to Twitter user Eichelbound, at Sabres Cup 2017, 75 followers, a little birdie, very much in the know, just told me, announcement coming next week from Sabres and Babcock. I have zero reason to spread a lie. There
from
you go.
Who?
At Sabres Cup 2017.
Right.
75 followers.
Yep. Don't make fun of people that have low follow counts. Come on.
I'm not making fun. I'm just saying no less than authority. Someone just tweeted at us this news.
Don't you don't you go follow shaming people like that? Bad Twitter.
Oh, I do not follow shame people, sir. And I know that my follower count is both a blessing and a curse because I know in certain situations, if you have too many followers, you can't comment on things. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to comment on things anymore because you're bullies. It's now time for a Friday favorite.
It's Game Show Friday!
Now, our victim today, Doran Lieben or Libin? Doran?
Hey, hello?
Hey, what's up? Is it Lieben or Libin, your last name?
Libin.
There you go. Doran emailed in to want to play Game Show Friday, but then I didn't hear back. And then I put the call out there and said, hey, if anybody wants to come and play, you know, let me know. And then as soon as I tweeted that, he emailed in and got in under the wire. But I wanted to mention this, Merrick, because I know as a guy who believes that this gimmick has run its course, no less than 34 emails from people saying that they wanted to be on Game Show Friday today.
30. So how many followers do you have?
Well, I mean, you know, time of day plus. Shut up.
Represent that as a percentage, please.
I refuse to. And most of my followers are porn bots. You know that. It's obviously what it is. Doran, welcome to Game Show Friday. So excited to have you here. Doran is a longtime listener and a first-time caller.
Thank you, sir.
Off today. This is a reoccurring theme for Game Show Friday contestants. When they have days off, they like to get on the show. Diehard Flames fan living in Vancouver, Doran tells us that the Canucks are his Oilers, i.e. the team he hates the most.
All right. Now, with your day off living in Vancouver, are you high or drunk, sir?
Yeah. Neither yet.
Okay, very good. What will be later, sir?
Probably drunk. I don't normally get high. Okay. But I want to apologize to Greg. I live on the West Coast, so when I emailed you last night, that was just before I was going to bed. I spent about 4 hours watching Naked and Afraid Marathon. So when I emailed you, I had just woken up.
Wow. There you go. Well, it's fine. I don't think there's any issue with that, and I appreciate you emailing me. As you know, our own Josh Cooper works on the West Coast, and he is a late riser as well. So I understand that the dynamics of time difference and all that stuff. Doran, as you know, five rounds, three categories each round. You choose the category you'd like to answer, and then I ask you the question from it. If you get three rounds correct, you win a fabulous prize. That'll be provided to you by our producer, Maddie Brown, who you will talk to after Game Show Friday ends, and he will get on the phone and go, wah, 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 and you'll be like, what? And he'll be like, wah, 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 and it'll just go on and on. Doran, are you ready to play Game Show Friday?
Yeah, I'm ready. I listen to Doug Loves Movies, so I'm very familiar with the...
Oh, my right. God. There was a Doug Loves Movies on
here we go.
Recently that was so damn good.
I'm gonna go make a sandwich.
And I forget who the guests were, but God damn, it was funny. The last few have been really funny. So here we go.
Good story.
Yes, sir?
I was going to say, the one with Jeff Tate and the guy who wanted to start a Fraser podcast, I thought that one was really good. It's like two,
yes.
two years ago.
The two, yeah, the one where they were in Colorado, it was the one I was actually thinking of. I don't know if that's the one you're talking about, but it had a lot of pot humor at the front, but the games themselves were really funny too. All right, here we go. Game Show Friday. Your categories are in round one: Flames history, Stanley Cup stats, or celebrating a birthday today.
I'm gonna try to go to my wheelhouse right away and go Flames history.
Flames history. All right, your question, sir, is: this Flames player is their all-time leader in playoff goals scored with 35. Name him.
Ooh.
I know, it ain't easy.
Kind of want to say McInnes.
Merrick, are you still there? Did you actually go for a sandwich?
No, I'm here. I'm here.
All right. Okay. Don't do you know the answer, Merrick? Do you venture a guess in your head?
I have a guess in my head, but...
Okay. Your answer, Doran?
I'm going to go Fleury just because he, I don't know if he played a ton of the playoffs after 89, but he was there the longest.
That was my guess too, by the way.
The answer is Joey Mullen, 35 playoff goals
right,
for Flames.
Eh?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Hell's Kitchen.
He had a couple of years where he popped in a bunch of goals in like the 1980s. So Joey Mullen was the answer we were looking
for. Do you have like a top three list? For Flames?
I think it's Mullen, Aginla, and then Fleury.
And then Fleury.
We're the top three. Oh. Yeah.
All
right,
Al
so
that's
a big loser in the first round, but that's okay. There's four more. Round two, your categories are Canucks embarrassments, current NHL leaders, and defunct teams of the defunct Central Hockey League.
Wow.
Oh, I know nothing about Central Hockey League. I should go with current leaders, but anything to do with embarrassing the Canucks.
All right. This is a good one. I if you think about it, you might be able to get it. When the Vancouver Canucks brought in Mark Messier to be their captain, they gave him the number 11, which was a rather embarrassing moment for the team. Why?
Oh, there's got to be...
Think about it logically.
It's got to be someone who's already wearing that number.
Think about it logically. Ooh, this is going to be a tough one. Your answer, please, Doran.
Was Sergei Nemchinov wearing that number?
That is incorrect. The answer we were looking for is it had already been retired for Wayne Mackey.
Yep.
And no one asked his family if they could take the number that had been retired and give it to Mark Messier. Holy shit, Merrick.
I know. That was a bad one. That was a little bit
Doran, I have some disturbing news coming in from the AP. And it says AP, parentheses, Merrick Wyszynski podcast is the dateline. You have but one incorrect answer left. Before you lose Game Show Friday. We're in round three. Categories are NHL coaches, Mad Max, which is questions about people that have Max in their name that played in the National Hockey League.
I like that.
In honor of Mad Max Fury Road, which I might not see today, but my good friend Ryan Lambert, who's in town, is seeing it. I may see him for a drink later, and I really hope I don't get a whole evening of, and then the car flipped over, and there was another amazing crash, and then Mad Max died. I'm like, shut up! Stop! Zdeno, and then your other possibility in this round is Zdeno Chara trivia. So NHL coaches, Mad Max, and Zdeno Chara trivia.
See, if I was going to see a movie today, I'd see Pitch Perfect 2, so I don't want to go with Mad Max.
Aka strong answer.
I think with the Babcock rumor that you're talking about earlier, I'll go with NHL coaches.
NHL coaches. This one may involve Mike Babcock. I don't want to give anything away. Who is the active leader in games coached in the National Hockey League in the regular season? So this guy is a current coach, and amongst all active coaches, he has coached the most games in the National Hockey League. Who is he?
Trots in Nashville for a long time.
Let me guess.
Hitchcock in St. Louis.
As you may have mentioned, it's probably someone that's been in a few destinations.
I don't think Babcock has coached long. He's coached longer than.
Do you have an answer in mind, Merrick, right now, or do you?
Yeah, I do.
Wait?
I have two, right. Actually.
Oh, well, I mean, it's going to be only one. I don't think that it's not a tie.
He kind of gave it away on that. He's been in a lot of places.
Spoiler
the
warning.
The other guy I had was only in two places.
Oh, and the person that you think it might be has been in how many places?
Let's begin. One, two, three places.
Three places.
No, four places. Four places.
Four places. Oh, interesting. I don't think this is like an official Game Show Friday phone a friend type thing here. but evidently, Merrick believes that the answer to the question is a coach that's been in four different places. I can't really speak to that.
That could be Daryl Sutter, but I don't think he's really lasted long enough to make the list. Maybe Hitch.
And you think that maybe it was maybe the other answer was a guy that was in three places, Merrick?
No, two.
Two places. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I was going to say Lindy Ruff, but it's probably wrong.
Oh. Well, I just gave away an answer if you wanted to take it. I can't tell you if it's right or not. All right.
Oh, two places.
Give us your answer, sir. Active leader in games coach National Hockey League, and your answer is?
I'm going to go with my gut. It's probably wrong. It's probably Hitchcock, but I'm going to say Trotz.
I was going to go Hitchcock.
It is not Barry Trotz. It is not Ken Hitchcock.
Hang on. Is it?
It is not Lindy Ruff, who is second amongst active coaches. It is a man who began his coaching career in 1996. With the St. Louis Blues.
Joel
Quenneville.
And is the current coach of your Chicago Blackhawks, Joel Quenneville.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of mustaches, too. Lanny McDonald's my favorite player. I should have known that.
Best mustache in the history of the game was who after Lanny McDonald? Who was the best mustache after Lanny?
Okay. Eddie Shack?
Shaq had a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. That's
Harold Snippets.
Yeah, Harold Snippets had a good one. That's another Cowboy Bill Flatt.
Torin, it didn't work out for you today, and I'm sorry for that, but I'll give you the Zdeno Chara question anyway because I find it to be kind of interesting. Zdeno Chara has played 17 seasons in the National Hockey League with the New York Islanders, the Ottawa Senators, and, of course, the Boston Bruins. How many seasons was he a minus player? 3, 4, 5, or 6?
Oh, Islanders teams are really bad.
Yeah, and those Ottawa teams are no picnic either.
I'm going to say 4.
Correct. You should have got what to say. All right, now we're in full. Now we're in full. Hold on. Now we're in full rub the salt in the wound mode here on the Game Show Friday, in which we give him the other category he did not choose in round three.
And Doran's going to run the table.
The category is Mad Max. This Max played 651 games in the National Hockey League from 1999 to 2009. He was with one team, but he finished his career with the Atlanta Thrashers before leaving for the KHL. Who
Max
is this
Finnegan
Max?
Yes!
Yeah!
Yes! Nailed it. So good.
So good. God. This is where Jeff legit gets a boner about Game Show Friday. It's the misery part of it.
Yeah, now that it's like, yeah, sorry, Doran, you lost it, buddy. You run the table on all the questions that you didn't choose. Now it's fun. Keep going. What else you got, Wish?
No more. We gotta get to the predictions part of the show. Doran, you're awesome. Thank you so much for stepping up and playing. I hope you had fun despite losing in three consecutive rounds.
Hey, dude, it's your day off. What are you gonna do today, Doran?
Gonna walk the dog, which isn't a euphemism for anything.
Okay. Wait, hang on. Wait, now, are you close to Stanley Park? Do you walk your dog there?
No, I'm close to being Downlands. It's this big area of trails by UBC.
Is that near Kits?
Not really. It kind of extends all the way to 16th.
Okay, I know
like
that
41st.
When you say Kits, you mean Kitsilano?
Kitsilano, yeah.
That's where I stayed during the Vancouver Olympics.
I love Kitsilano. Yeah.
Multi-billion-dollar house. It was the best, really. Doran, anything to plug? You're a writer for Dauber, aren't you?
Yeah, I write the Wild West column for Dauber, which makes it all the more embarrassing that I couldn't get the two questions about, the three questions about Western Conference teams.
That's okay.
So I write for them. My Twitter handle's @big_DL, although I don't really tweet a lot of stuff from it. So, and then that's if fine. I can give a shout out to, I'm in a dynasty hockey league. It's called the ZFHL. And, I destroyed the competition this year, so I just want to
well done.
Say hello to them.
Well, there you go. You stand on the bloody corpses of your vanquished comrades, and I think that more than makes up for what happened today.
Can I just say this is reminiscent? The last time I was I tried to answer a trivia question on a radio show, mm-hmm. I couldn't remember who the Vancouver goalie named Beaker was. I could picture him in my head, but all I could think of was Van Beesbrook. And, so Glenn Hanlon got the best of me there. But.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Wow. I wouldn't have gotten that either, though. All right. So it is what it is. There is a thought amongst some of the Game Show Friday fans that at some point during the summer, maybe we do a tournament of losers, people who didn't get anything right during Game Show Friday. So that's a possibility that we may bring you back for that.
But stay in touch.
We'll see how it goes. Stay in touch. And thank you for joining us, as always. And thanks for supporting the show.
Thanks, Doran. Appreciate
thank
it,
you.
Man.
Yeah.
Enjoy walking the dog, sir. Whatever
thank
that,
you.
Whatever that does mean.
Matt Doak writes in and tells us that it was Joey Mullen, Joe Nieuwendyk, and Theo Fleury were the three goals leaders for the Flames in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would have picked Theo. That I would have been wrong. See, I told you. I don't know this stuff.
I thought this was an especially challenging game show Friday. I'll give you one more.
I thought
before
so
we do
too.
Predictions.
Yeah. Okay. What do you got?
Yeah.
Max McNabb. Oh no, we already did that category.
Let me see here. Let me see if you can get this celebrating a birthday today.
Oh jeez.
This diminutive center, who turns 45 today, played for the Boston Bruins, Flyers, Flames, Red Wings, and then 7 years with the Wild until his retirement in 2008. He later became an assistant coach for the Tampa Bay Lightning under Barry Melrose and Rick Tocchet.
Wes Walls.
There you go. Not bad.
All right. Woo. I know trivia about hockey.
One more.
Okay.
How many times have the Chicago Blackhawks won the Clarence Campbell Bowl? And it's multiple. Oh. You want multiple choice or you just want to give an answer?
I'm just going to throw a dart anyway, so give me some options.
6, 7, 8, 9.
Seven.
Six.
Damn it.
Although you never know. Actually, wait. Now that's a perfect transition. Who are your picks for the East and the West? Are you picking them to win a seventh Clarence Campbell Bowl? Is that why it was on your mind?
Talk some good Clarence Campbell drunk stories. Like when he handed out the cup in 1967. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. If you're bored, and who doesn't get bored, and you want to see everyone always gets down on Gary Bettman and what happens when he hands out the cup and the booze and all that kind of stuff. One of the things that I will say to defend him is at least he's sober. Go look at the 1967. Right. There's video of it. Go look at the 1967 Stanley Cup when Clarence Campbell, who was into his potato juice pretty good that day, he liked his vodka oranges, came out and did that little speech before giving the Stanley Cup to George Armstrong. Listen to the president, okay, not commissioner, president of the National Hockey League, hammered, wow, trying to stammer out some words as he presents the Stanley Cup. At least Gary does it sober.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I think you're saying that there's a lot to, you know, there's a lot in common between Clarence Campbell and Gary Bettman, and that they are both met with booze when they go to the finals.
Oh, no, Campbell wasn't met with booze. This is Maple Leaf Gardens, and he's bringing out the Stanley Cup.
Dude.
What?
Dude. Met with.
Oh, met booze.
Well, why would the chicken cross the road, Greg? That doesn't seem to make a lick of sense.
Oh my God. I can't get the hook out of your mouth, Merrick. I can't.
But hold on. But that's a very good clock. If he wanted to see time fly, well, he could find another way to find it. Why would he throw the clock out the window? It makes no sense.
And then Cleopatra said, not now. I'm on my pyramid.
Pyramid. Thank
along,
you.
Move along. Move along.
But she was in denial. That was the.
That's,
okay.
Yeah.
Listen, you're picking Chicago in the West, yes?
Yeah, why not? I really have no idea, but I'll take Chicago.
I'm going Chicago over the Ducks in the six, and I'm going there because I am someone who believes that maybe the Ducks have not met a challenge worthy of them yet, and I am someone that believes that given the time and given a healthy team, although the loss of Roosevelt hurts a little bit, the Blackhawks can shut down anybody. And give me the best defensive winger in hockey, one of the best defensemen in hockey, and arguably the best defensive centerman in hockey outside of Patrice Bergeron against the Getzlaf Perry line, and I'll take my chances that the rest of the Blackhawks will outplay the rest of the Ducks.
When was the last time, maybe there's an obvious answer, I'm just doing this off the top of my head, when was the last time two coaches met in a conference final who used to play on the same team?
Quenneville
and Boudreaux played on the Maple Leafs together.
Play the Maple Leafs, right. That's a really good question. Wow.
Oof. Hey,
somebody out there. I
was gonna say again. If you're bored, anyone out there, HockeyDB can be your friend.
John Cooper, the only guy who didn't play in the league, right? Of the four coaches.
Yeah, no, Alain Vigneault played. Yep, he played.
Yeah,
but not Coops. He's a curbside lawyer, ladies and gentlemen.
Cooper versus Vigneault is a major, major plot line in the Eastern Conference Final. I love this because I think Cooper. For some reason, people thought he was outcoached in the second round. I don't understand who these people are.
I don't get that.
His style of play versus how Alain Vigneault, and Alain Vigneault does one thing maybe better than almost any other coach in this league, which is adapt.
Matchups.
Oh,
he
God.
Is a
I think he's a very fine coach. But the thing that's really fascinating about this matchup, obviously, are the connections between the teams. Marty St. Louis against the Lightning. Ryan Callahan against the Rangers, provided his guts don't fall out at all over the ice. Anton Strahlman, a guy that the Rangers didn't think was worth the money. And Brian Boyle, a guy who the Rangers didn't even, like, talk to when he was a free agent.
they're actually happy that Chris Neal punched him out in that series.
Yeah, so, like, it's a really interesting series from that perspective. It's also a really interesting series from the perspective of the Rangers being a trap team. With an all-world goalie against a Lightning team that now has Stamkos firing on all cylinders and the triplet line, both series are great. This one's really interesting.
It's interesting too because you say to yourself, "Oh, there's no way that Ben Bishop is going to outduel Henrik Lundqvist. He just took down Carey Price."
He took down Carey Price, but he did so in not all that impressive fashion. And the entirety of the playoffs, he's looked a little nervous, and to me, that gives me pause. But I want to believe that he figured his stuff out and get in that game six, because that was a really impressive performance. And that was a performance in which he knows the eyes of the world are on him, waiting for him to screw up, go back to Bell Center, and then they all get curb stomped by the Canadiens. But he came through, and it makes me think that maybe that was a learning moment for him in that series.
Yeah, probably could have been. This one, we've said it all year long. The only teams in the Eastern Conference that can keep up with each other at that really elite level pace are these two teams that are in the conference final.
Yeah.
These are the two fastest teams in the Eastern Conference, probably the two fastest teams in the NHL. So if you believe that speed equals good, and sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, if you think that faster equals better, then this is the series for you. These two teams can flat out fly.
Interesting.
True, man.
Patrick M. writes in, I'm still hoping for the long-promised Littlest Hobo Game Show Friday.
So am I. I was thinking about that last night. You know what? That's so tragic. But lately, I don't know what it is. Every now and then, there's like an eruption of Littlest Hobo tweets my way. Our friend Karen Douglas sent me one last night, which got me to remembering. Maybe hey, whatever happened to Hobo Trivia?
Settle down.
Yeah. Our buddy Patrick was watching it yesterday. Your favorite one, Whipper Billy Watson and Mike Myers.
Tom Hardy, I think the star of Mad Max made mention of Littlest Hobo. I think why people were talking about it the other day. Yeah,
anytime anyone mentions it, I get like flooded
maybe
with
tomorrow.
Hobo mentions, which is fine by me. Mm-hmm. It's a dog? What? Oh, one of the best moments of my life. You realize it was a
dog. Hey, there it is. Sportsnet.
When I had my vasectomy a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. That's right. It's always good to hear.
Transition from my vasectomy into Little Hobo. Television show I've ever
heard of. And Greg Wyshynski of Yahoo Sports.
There it is.
Well, the littlest hobo, the littlest hobo. He's eating out of cans and playing with his dog. Littlest hobo, he's jumping on trains. He needs to jump high because he's so little.
Debate Hockey.
The show's not actually about a hobo.
No, it's about a dog. It's a hybrid of a German Shepherd
Wait,
and a Husky.
The dog's a... It's about a dog?
Yep. Yeah, dude. You've never watched Littlest Hobo?
No!
Merrick versus Wyshynski.
That was like that moment in Crying Game for you. Her legs, her eyes, surprise. What? What?
I was thinking more along the lines like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Littlest Hobo was a ghost the whole time? All right. So I'm Lightning 7. You're and Blackhawk 6. You're what?
I'm Hawk 6 and Rangers 6.
Rangers and 6.
Yeah.
The venerable Stan Fischler says Rangers and 5. Book it. Is what he said today.
All right. Thanks, Maven.
There you go. The Maven.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Stan. Maybe it was his intern. Anyways.
Someone from the Fischler Report. I don't know.
All right, can
I get a plug in here real quick? First,
I think it's your show.
All right,
then.
Tonight, you may think there's no hockey on television. You, sir or madam, are wrong. Because in Canada, on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 1, stateside on the NHL Network, starting at 7 bells Eastern, we have Game 5 between the Erie Otters and the Oshawa Generals. Connor McDavid facing elimination could be his last game in junior hockey. Backs against the wall the last two times in Oshawa, McDavid held to 1 point. Does it all end for the McDavid show in the OHL tonight? Find out starting at 7 chimes on the NHL Network stateside in Kanakistan, Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 1.
By the way, Bob McKenzie said today on the radio that the Mike Babcock frenzy has been limited to the Sabres and the Maple Leafs. For the time being, those are the only two teams that approach the Red Wings. Things could change in a minute, and Philadelphia could ask permission to speak as well. That's according to Bob McKenzie via the Leafs Nation. So there you go.
Prediction? If the Maple Leafs don't get Mike Babcock?
Yeah.
Prediction?
Go ahead.
Jeff Blashill is the next coach.
Of the Maple Leafs?
Yep.
Oh, swerve. What if Babcock goes to the Sabres, then Blashill goes to the Leafs still?
Just saying.
Wow.
I just want to put it out there.
If that happens, let me just put this out there. I imagine there'll be a few mustache trimmings in the coach's sink in Detroit. Right? Don't you think?
Could be.
All right. Where do you think Pete DeBoer ends up? San Jose?
Okay, let me throw you another curveball for San Jose. Prediction? Next coach of the San Jose Sharks? Adam Oates.
No! Oates and Larry on the bench.
If anyone's gonna understand Joe Thornton, it's gonna be Adam Oates.
There you go.
Wow.
He's not a very good coach. Just would have mentioned that.
Put it out there.
All right, everybody. There you hear it. Insider Jeff Merrick with the inside scoop.
I'm just making. We all love predictions, don't we? That's all I'm saying.
Thanks to everybody for a great week. We'll see you on Monday. Please enjoy the conference championships. Please enjoy the Preakness. And please enjoy Mad Max when you see it, as I'm sure I will when I get to see it. All right, everybody. Bye.
What's that?
Oh, Mad Men finale! Matt Brown mentions Mad Men finale. That's right. Watching the marathon as we speak on AMC. Such the best show of all time next to The Sopranos. And my prediction is that John Hamm will echo the ad he made many moons ago. Go to the Pacific Ocean, take off all of his clothes, and walk into the ocean, and the show will end with a naked John Hamm submerging himself in the Pacific, and we are left to wonder, did he drown? Is he just reborn? Blah, blah. Sopranos finale. That's my prediction.
All right, I've never watched.
I was not waiting for anything from you except a hearty farewell to the listeners for another
John
week.
Hamm,
well,
which leads us to a discussion about the St. Louis Blues. And you mentioned Alain Vigneault. Yes, he played for the St. Louis Blues for two seasons. Greg, oh, look at that. We're all out of time.
All right, everybody. See you next week. Bye.